Indeed, Richard has subtractive magic.
You knew that? You had one with subtractive magic collared? You would risk that? You would have him brought here to the palace?
Her hands unfolded and she leaned in a bit.
Why?
Anne held the other's gaze.
Because there are sisters of the dark in the palace.
She didn't twitch. She knew. At least, she suspected.
Bless you, Verna. You are a bright one. Forgive me for what I must do.
Is this room shielded? Verna asked in an even tone.
Of course.
She left unsaid that her shield would not protect against these sisters. Do you have proof of such an accusation, prelate?
I do not need proof right now because this conversation is restricted. You will not speak of it, unless you plan to bring charges. If you do, I, of course, will deny it, and say a bitter sister was trying to accuse the prelate of blasphemy for personal gain, and then we would have to hang you. Neither of us wants that, now do we?
Verna sat stiff and still.
No, prelate.
But what does that have to do with bringing Richard here?
When your house is overrun with rats, the only thing you can do is bring in a cat.
This cat sees us all as rats, maybe with good reason.
Some might say that perhaps you were not bringing in a cat for your rats, but bait. Richard is a good person. I would not like to think he is being sacrificed. Do you know why you were selected to go after Richard?
I had thought it was your vote of confidence.
Anne shrugged.
In a way it was. Although I'm not sure that there are sisters of the dark in the palace, and I have no idea who they are if it's true, I had to assume that if it is true, then, since Grace and Elizabeth were at the top of the list, they would be sisters of the dark. I knew from prophecy that only my eyes have seen that Richard probably has subtractive magic, and further that he would refuse the first two offers. I knew the first two sisters would die. If the Nameless One's disciples knew any of this, they would want the third name on the list to be one of theirs too. I used my prerogative as prelate to pick the third sister.
You chose me because you had faith that I was not one of them?
What Anne wanted to say was,
I have known you since you were a child, Verna. I know your quick mind, your heart, and your soul. You, of all the sisters, were the one I trusted with the fate of the world. I knew Richard would be safe in your hands.
But she could not say that.
I chose you, Verna, because you were far down on the list, and because, all in all, you are quite unremarkable.
The room rang with silence for a long moment. Verna swallowed.
I see.
Anne affected dispassionate objectivity. Inside, her heart was breaking.
I doubted you were one of them. You are a person of little note. I'm sure Grace and Elizabeth made their way to the top of the list because whoever directs the Sisters of the Dark considered them expendable. I direct the Sisters of the Light. I chose you for the same reason. There are sisters who are valuable to our cause. I could not risk one of them on such a task. The boy may prove of value to us, but he is not as important as other matters at the palace. He may be a help. It was simply an opportunity I thought to take. If there had been trouble and none of you made it back, well, I'm sure you can understand that a general would not want to lose his best troops on a low-priority mission.
Verna's breathing looked forced. Her voice sounded it.
Of course, Prelate Annalena.
Anne shuffled her papers impatiently.
I have important matters to get back to. Is there anything else, sister?
No, Prelate.
When the door closed, Anne lowered her face into her shaking hands. Tears dripped onto her papers. She appraised his eyes for a long moment. Richard didn't know if she would say yes or not, but he had had to tell her much of what he had learned just to get her to agree to listen to his plea. He couldn't afford to fail. He needed help. He had to trust someone.
All right, Richard. I will help you. If half of what you say is true, I must help you.
Richard sighed as he closed his eyes in relief.
Thank you, Liliana.
I'll never forget you for this. You're the only one around here who will listen to reason. Can we do it now? Time is critical.
Now?
She whispered harshly.
Here.
Richard, if what you say about you having subtractive magic is true,
It won't be a simple matter to remove your Radahan. I will need to retrieve an object of magic that the sisters keep guarded. It's an aid used to amplify power. Maybe through that, and with your help, it will be enough to get the collar off. Not only that, but if the Nameless One is involved, there is no telling what ears or Han might be paying attention.
Then when? Where? It has to be soon.
She wiped her fingers over her eyes as she considered.
Well, I think I can retrieve the object before tonight, so we could try tonight.
But where? It can't be in the palace. It would be too dangerous.
The Hagen Woods, Richard said. Everyone avoids the Hagen Woods.
Liliana looked up.
Richard, you can't be serious. It's dangerous there.
Not for me. I already told you how I can tell if the Mriswith are coming. We'll be safe enough, and we won't have to worry about any sisters or Pasha stumbling by while we're trying to get this cursed thing off my neck.
She let out a frustrated breath. At last she laid a hand on his shoulder and, giving it a squeeze, smiled.
All right. The Hagen Woods, then.
With a stern look, she gripped his shoulder and held him out at arm's length. I'm violating a whole stack of rules by doing this. I know it's important and the right thing to do, but if they catch us before we can do it, they will make sure I never get near enough to you to ever again try.
I'm ready now. Let's go.
No, I must try to retrieve the aid first.
She cocked her head to the side as she frowned. And I just thought of something else. They keep telling you not to let the sun set on you there.
Why?
Richard shrugged.
Because it's dangerous.
And after everything you've learned, you believe them? You trust them?
Richard, what if they don't want you to let the sun set on you there because you might learn something useful?
You said the Hagen Woods were placed there by the wizards of old who had subtractive magic in order to help those like you. What if the sisters don't want you to have that help? What if they are just trying to make you afraid so you won't discover it?
Wizard's first rule. Were they deceiving him? Was he believing a lie?
You may be right. We'll go before sunset.
No, we don't want to be seen together, and it will take me some time to steal the aid. Do you know where the long, split rock sits in the stream to the southwest corner of the Hagen Woods?
I know the place.
Good. You get there before the sun sets. You are the one the magic is for. Go in the woods by the split rock. Tie strips of cloth to branches so I can follow where you went and find you. I'll meet you there in the woods when the moon is two hands in the sky. And Richard, don't you dare tell anyone about this, or you will be risking not only my life and yours, but Kaelin's too.
Richard nodded with a smile of thanks.
On my word. Tonight, then.
He paced his room after she left. He was anxious to get this over with and be off. He was running out of time. If Dark and Rawl had the Skryn bone, they were already out of time. But that was just foolish. How would he get it? He was a spirit. Maybe it was as Warren said, that the elements were rarely all in place. It was Kaelin he was worried about. He had to help her. A knock brought him out of his thoughts. He thought it might be Liliana come back, but when he opened the door, a distraught Perry pushed into the room.
Richard, I need your help.
He pulled out a fistful of robes.
Look at this! They promoted me!
Richard glanced down the length of the simple brown robes.
Congratulations. That's great, Perry.
It's a disaster. Richard, I need your help.
Richard frowned.
Why is it a disaster?
Perry threw his arms in the air, as if it should be obvious to anyone.
Because I can't go into the city. I'm restricted in these robes. I'm not allowed to go over the bridge.
Well, I'm sorry, Perry, but I don't see how I can help you.
Perry took a deep breath to calm himself. He looked up pleadingly.
There's a woman in the city. I've been seeing her steady of late. Richard, I really like her. I'm supposed to meet her tonight. If I don't show up so I can explain, if I never show up again, she'll think I don't care about her.
Perry, I still don't see what I can do about it.
Perry grabbed him by his shirt.
They took all my clothes, Richard. You could lend me some of yours. Then no one would recognize me and I could sneak into the city and see her. Please, Richard, lend me some of your clothes.
Richard thought a moment. He didn't care if he was violating some obscure rule of the palace. It seemed insignificant compared to what he was doing. but he still worried for Perry. The guards all know me. They will see it's you in my clothes and tell the sisters. Then you'll be in for trouble.
Perry glanced away, frantically thinking.
Night! I'll wait until night and then I'll go. They won't see so clearly who it really is at night. Please, Richard, please.
Richard sighed.
It's fine by me, Perry, if you want to risk it. Just don't get yourself caught. I'd hate to know I helped get you in trouble.
He gestured to the bedroom, where the wardrobe was.
Come on, take whatever you like. You aren't quite my size, but I guess you're close enough.
Perry added a grin to his sidelong look.
The red coat? I can have the red coat? She'd like me in that.
Sure.
Richard led a giddy Perry toward the bedroom.
If that is what you would like, take it. I'm glad someone will enjoy wearing the red coat.
Perry sorted through the wardrobe, looking for a pair of pants and a shirt he thought would look dashing.
I saw Sister Liliana leaving your room just before I came.
He pulled out a ruffled white shirt.
She one of your teachers?
Yes. I like her. She's the nicest of the lot.
Perry held up the shirt in front of himself.
How does this look on me?
Better than on me. You know Liliana?
Not really. She just always gives me the shivers. Those strange eyes of hers.
Richard thought about Liliana's pale, pale blue eyes shot through with violet flecks. He shrugged.
I thought they were strange, too, at first. But she's so bubbly and friendly that I don't even notice them anymore. She has such a warm smile that it's hard to see anything else.
She considered the captain standing before her desk. He was asking an outrageous price. But then, what was the palace's gold to her? Before it was missed, she would be gone. As she had feared, the boy was proving troublesome to tame. It was becoming important to cultivate other options. There were other ways of seeing to the keeper's wishes, other ways of keeping her oath.